Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 666, titled Bad Jacketing Obama, Part 4. This program is being recorded on March 8th of the year 2009. And as always, let me encourage you in the most emphatic fashion to use the vast amount of material available at SpitfireList.com, the best website in existence for anti-fascist information. Yours and a lot of other lives may very well depend on the successful dissemination of that information. And believe me, that is not an exercise in conceit. It is said with more sadness and fear than I think I could possibly express, even with my not inconsiderable powers of verbal expression. Now, we're going to plunge right back into where we left off. At the end of side one, we were talking about a number of things, in particular talking about how Barack Obama appears to be being bad jacketed. He was bad jacketed during the presidential campaign by the Muslim Brotherhood, who, along with their Republican Party allies, were basically portraying Barack Obama as a tool of the Islamists and so forth. I have noted that people like Karl Rove, whose specialty bad jacketing is, and other backers of George Bush, including and especially Talat Altman, director of Harkin Energy, managing director of Grover Norquist's Islamic Institute, the meeting point between the Muslim Brotherhood and the GOP. Talat Altman also gave a Muslim benediction at the Republican convention in 2000 and is a longtime political associate and personal friend of both Georges Bush. Talat Altman was part of the Chicago area slumlord milieu, which nurtured Barack Obama as a young politico. I suspect that some of the bad jacketing that took place in the campaign was part of the Talat Altman doing. It would not surprise me one bit if Talat Altman and elements around him had much to do with suggesting to Barack Obama that some people who might help his moderate Muslim outreach were people like Charles Freeman. Because again, as we noted inside one, Charles Freeman was appointed by Barack Obama to head a key intelligence post, and that is a very unintelligent selection indeed. I think the root sentiment of Barack Obama to being bipartisan is noble. I certainly think that if the Republicans were anything other than what they are, and frankly, what the Republicans are traitors, period. They've ruined this country, and they're traitors. There's just no way to soft-pedal it. You can't be bipartisan with fascists, and the Republican Party is a fascist political party at this point. As an esteemed friend and professional colleague noted about the descent of the Republican Party into fascism, the party of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Norman Rockwell has become the party of George Lincoln Rockwell. Rockwell, by the way, was the Führer of the American Nazi Party. His Arlington, Virginia name, address, and phone number, along with that of another American Nazi Party member named Dan Burroughs, were found in the alleged communist Lee Harvey Oswald's address book. We were talking inside one about, happily, some calls to investigate Barack Obama's appointment of Charles Freeman to head up this key intelligence post. Two Democrats are involved. It was mostly Republicans. Now, in this side of the broadcast, we're going to be taking a look at much of the right-wing slash Republican furor, pun intended, over Charles Freeman's appointment. It's kind of like It's like the surreal, the theater of the absurd political landscape in which we have George Bush railing against Islamic terrorism, and yet his administration and indeed the whole Bush political effort, it has a long-standing relationship with those same elements. George Bush's administration is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, Charles Freeman, this person whom the Republicans are correctly blasting as an extremely unwise choice to head up this very sensitive intelligence post, Charles Freeman was the elder George Bush's ambassador to Saudi Arabia and was the ambassador to Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War. I have a few thoughts concerning Obama's selection. I think he's trying to be bipartisan. I also think that he is trying to get people who can deal with the, frankly, impossible situation which he inherited on a variety of fronts. I also suspect, and we're going to be taking a look, and the first item on the docket, so to speak, in Side 2, is a Wall Street Journal editorial, or op-ed column, rather, and it blasts the Obama administration for having selected Charles Freeman, and notes correctly Charles Freeman's connections to Saudi Arabia, and the fact that the think tank of which he was the head, the MEPC, published the Israel Lobby paper by Mearsheimer and Walt. More about that later. And also notes that Charles Freeman has had some very kind statements to make about China as well. I got a hunch that among the factors looming in, among the factors helping to dictate Charles Freeman's appointment, are economic. If Obama is going to successfully extricate us from the wrecked train that engineer George W. Bush has precipitated vis-a-vis the economy, something I spoke about years ago and something which, in case you hadn't noticed, has come to pass. Among the things that are going to have to happen to help keep the U.S. from going totally bankrupt, people are going to have to buy our T-bills, and there isn't a whole lot of interest, pun intended, in those T-bills. And two of the countries that figure to loom large if the T-bills are going to be marketed are Saudi Arabia and China. And I suspect, and this is my own opinion, I suspect that may have helped to influence Obama's choice here. I suspect that Talat Otman is blowing in his ear as well. More about that in a minute, too. The following is from the Wall Street Journal of Wednesday, February 25th of 2009. It's an op-ed column by Gabriel Schoenfeld, and it reads in part, it's called Obama's Intelligence Choice, and this talks about Charles Freeman. Again, as you listen, in this side, we're going to be spending a lot of time on the Republican and right-wing blasting of Obama for this. Bear in mind that the guy he appointed was a Republican. He was being bipartisan here, although Freeman has served, for example, for about a year or so in the early, in Clinton's first term, he served as an assistant secretary of defense and helped to craft NATO policy in that period. Note that the Balkans wars were underway at that point, helping to precipitate a return of Islamic fascism in Bosnia, the recreation of the 13th Waffen-SS division, a Muslim Waffen-SS division from World War II that was recreated in the, quote, new, unquote, quote, independent, unquote, Bosnia. That was basically that scene, the NATO policy 1993-94, was the domain of Charles Freeman. But this guy's basically a Republican. He was the elder George Bush's ambassador to Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War. So that's who we're talking about here, because it is just surreal. The right wing and the Republicans are ripping Obama for this, as frankly, he should be ripped for this. This is a damn fool thing to do. However, he also has an impossible task at hand. And it's surreal because people in the progressive community, such as the altogether estimable Robert Perry, are in turn reacting to the right-wing attacks on this by defending Charles Freeman. Charles Freeman should be hung. Okay? There should be both conservatives and progressives saying hard, right on. You know, he should be hung from the tallest tree in the Republic at noon on the 4th of July, along with a whole lot of other people. But that's my opinion, folks. But anyway, again, Wall Street Journal of Wednesday, February 25th of 2009. This is an article by Gabriel Schoenfeld. By the way, I'm not going to muss a hair on Charles Freeman's head, but somebody ought to speak the truth about this garbage, this insanity that's overtaking us. Because I think we're screwed, and I think there's going to be nuclear terror. I think Cheney's right. There is going to be some sort of nuclear or biological incident. I suspect we're very likely to see a, quote, limited, unquote, nuclear war in the Middle East and perhaps elsewhere. You think the equities markets are in tough shape. Now, you wait till the mushroom clouds start going off, whether in Washington, D.C. or New York or the Middle East. You wait till you see what's left of your 401k then, folks, if you think this isn't going to affect you. Let's skip down in this op-ed column. And again, we're going to be taking a look at how the right wing is attacking Obama on this. Basically, it was the Muslim Brotherhood / Saudi / petroleum / Bush lobby that precipitated this thing. The Wall Street Journal and Gabriel Schoenfeld write, "Without question, Mr. Freeman has a distinguished resume, having served in a long list of State and Defense Department slots, but also without question, he has distinctive political views and affiliations, some of which are more than eyebrow-raising. In 1997, Mr. Freeman succeeded George McGovern to become the president of the Middle East Policy Council. The MEPC purports to be a nonpartisan public affairs group that, quote, strives to ensure that a full range of U.S. interests and views are considered by policymakers, unquote, dealing with the Middle East. In fact, its original name until 1991 was the American Arab Affairs Council, and it is an influential Washington mouthpiece for Saudi Arabia. As Mr. Freeman acknowledged in a 2006 interview with an outfit called the Saudi-U.S. Relations Information Service, MEPC owes its endowment to the, quote, generosity, unquote, of King Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz of Saudi Arabia. Asked in the same interview about his organization's current mission, Mr. Freeman responded in a revealing non sequitur that he was, quote, delighted that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has, after a long delay, begun to make serious public relations efforts, unquote. Among MEPC's recent activities in the public relations realm, it has published what it calls an, quote, unabridged, unquote, version of the Israel lobby in U.S. foreign policy by Professors John J. Mearsheimer and Stephen M. Walt. This controversial 2006 essay argued that American Jews have a, quote, stranglehold on the U.S. Congress, which they employ to tilt the U.S. toward Israel at the expense of broader American interests. Mr. Freeman has both endorsed the paper's thesis and boasted of MEPC's intrepid stance. Quote, no one else in the United States has dared to publish this article given the political penalties that the lobby imposes on those who criticize it, unquote. Actually, that's not strictly speaking true. Although it was not published by Harvard University, it was developed under the auspices of Harvard University. And it's worth noting that the fellow who was the head of Harvard's endowments body, basically the person overseeing Harvard's endowment entity, and that Harvard has the largest such endowment entity of any university in the United States, was a Muslim named Mohammed El-Arian, who went to that position from having been a key official or a key executive with PIMCO. Now, PIMCO is a subsidiary of Allianz, the German and large German insurance company, and as one of the German core corporations, therefore inevitably part of the Bormann Capital Network and the Underground Reich. Go to the Spitfire website, read Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile by Paul Manning for background. What's worth noting is that this paper was published. It was not officially published by Harvard, but developed under the auspices of Harvard University, which then disclaimed official ownership of it, although they were sort of the midwife to this entity. And this happened when Prince Al-Walid of Saudi Arabia, who's Muslim Brotherhood, he's also the largest holder in Citicorp, which isn't doing too good these days, and the second largest stockholder. He also controls, along with a minority consortium of other Saudi princes, the largest media corporation of the world, AOL Time Warner. He's the second largest stockholder in News Corp, behind Gruppenführer Murdoch himself. He's also the second largest stockholder in Silvio Berlusconi's European media giant. Silvio Berlusconi, Italian prime minister, also a former member of the P2, and part of the Bank Altaqua network, as discussed in, among other programs, FTR 377 and FTR 456. Again, when I talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, it can only be understood as part of the Fascist International. Prince Al-Walid made a $25 million endowment, a donation to Harvard University to foster Christian Muslim understanding. No Jews in there. He did a similar thing, by the way, to Georgetown University, and this raised the hackles of American Jews. It's only supposed to promote Christian Muslim understanding. And lest people think, by the way, after this took place, Mohammed El-Arian eventually resigned his position at head of Harvard Endowments and went back to his position with PIMCO, Allianz's subsidiary. That's talked about, by the way, in For the Record 613. The endowment to Harvard by Prince Al-Walid was by no means an abstract intellectual exercise. Shortly thereafter, Muslim male students at Harvard were able to successfully lobby to have a previously co-ed cafeteria and gym closed to women. One of them was closed permanently to women. The other one only closed to women when the Muslim male students were there. But lest people think this is simply some sort of abstract exercise in intellect, anything but. Now, again, I suspect that among the factors dictating Barack Obama's selection of this guy was economic, because this guy's pro-Saudi and pro-Chinese, and sadly, we are in debt. And if we're to extricate ourselves from the all but impossible economic straits that the engineer George Bush has, in which engineer George W. Bush has placed the train, somebody's going to have to buy our T-bills, and China and Saudi Arabia would be a real good bet. I suspect that has something to do with this appointment. I suspect other things do, too. We're going to take a look at some of the people who are members of the board of directors of the MEPC, headed up by Charles Freeman. Again, the elder George Bush's ambassador to Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War. Taking a look here, we find Curtis Brand, chairman retired, ExxonMobil Saudi Arabia. Surprise, surprise. Frank C. Carlucci, chairman, the Carlyle Group, and former U.S. Secretary of Defense. Well, the Carlyle Group is one of the areas where the Bush family fortune meets the Bin Laden family fortune. Indeed, the elder George Bush was winging his way out of Washington on September 11, 2001, having attended the shareholders meeting of the Carlyle Group, or a meeting of the key persons with the Carlyle Group. Interestingly enough, the elder George Bush was winging his way into Dallas, Texas on November 22, 1963. His landing was delayed, though, while they flew out President Kennedy's body. Looking at other members of the board of directors here, guess who we find as a member of the board of directors of the MEPC, whose president was Charles Freeman? Initials T.O. No, not Terrell Owens. Talat M. Ottman, president, Grove Financial Incorporated, Chicago. And right below him, Dr. Fuad A. Rabbani, director, research and development, Saudi Bin Laden Group. That, of course, is the major construction company headed up by the of the Bin Ladens, the largest construction company in the Middle East. By the way, their counsel, their legal work is handled by Sullivan and Cromwell, the old Dulles law firm that, among other things, managed the investments by the Bush family in Nazi industry. This is most disturbing, although maybe perhaps predictable. I got a sneaking suspicion, and this is my opinion, and it is a conspiracy theory. I got a hunch it's Talat Ottman making these suggestions. But note that we've got people like Charles Freeman and another fellow whom we're going to talk about, Mr. Hoff, from that same MEPC, the Middle East Policy Center, who is a key State Department envoy, so to speak, to Syria. But we've got people like that Barack Obama's made the mistake of appointing. And then we've got the AMCE with people like Jamal Barzinji and Yaqub Mirza, like Talat Ottman, part of the Green Quest milieu. We've got them as part of the Muslim outreach, using the number two guy for President al-Bashir of Sudan. And again, that's Muslim. Take a look at the government of Sudan and their genocidal campaigns against Christian and animists in the 1990s, and their genocidal campaign against black Muslims in Darfur, yea, verily, as we speak. That's Muslim Brotherhood moderation in action. Now we're going to take a look at some of the blasting of Barack Obama's appointment. The following comes from the Washington Times. Now, that, of course, is owned by the Moon Organization, which, as I've examined in, among other programs, AFA program number 8, or AFA program number 7, and, for the record, 291, is basically a projection around the world and through the decades of the Japanese patriotic and ultranationalist societies that brought fascism to Japan. Washington Times, March 4th, 2009, an editorial by Sammy Benoit. Benoit, big national intelligence misstep. Now, note that the information cited here by Benoit is accurate, but, of course, they're ripping this as Barack Obama. It's a continuation of the same sort of bad jacketing that we looked at in the campaign in, for the record, 655 and 656, but now it's bad jacketing Obama during his administration. But note how extreme this organization is. Ambassador Charles W. Chaz Freeman Jr.'s nomination as chairman of the National Intelligence Council has quickly become the Obama administration's most controversial appointment to date. Mr. Freeman's two post-government activities involve being a de facto employee of Saudi Arabia. In exchange, he received lavish support for his Middle East Policy Center and lucrative contracts for the consulting firm he founded to guide international companies into finding royal family-connected partners within the Saudi elite. This raises the reasonable questions as to whether Ambassador Freeman acted as an unregistered Saudi agent. This role has created significant concern about his impartiality as chief U.S. intelligence analyst on matters that will clearly involve Saudi views and interests. While many former diplomats, especially former Saudi ambassadors, are not known for being big fans of Israel, Mr. Freeman presided over a center and publication featuring hostility to Israel that is beyond the broadest mainstream of U.S. thinking on the region. In addition, his slavish following of the Saudi party line has involved Mr. Freeman in some embarrassing situations. For example, the MEPC, which receives major funding from the Saudi royal family, published a resource for American teachers called Arab World Studies Notebook. This notebook includes bizarre historical anomalies, such as that Muslims inhabited the New World in pre-Columbian times, and English explorers met Iroquois and Algonquin chiefs with names like Abdul Rahim and Abdullah ibn Malik. Another MEPC project is the quarterly magazine Middle East Policy, the editorial pages of which are filled with disturbingly radical anti-Israel polemics. Claims such as the Iraq War was waged for the United States on behalf of Israel, or that the United States allows Israel to call the shots, unquote, on policy in the region, including a strategy of buying off Fatah and starving Hamas, unquote, that is an Israeli plan that Washington has had to accept. Mr. Freeman's willingness to push these extreme positions for financial reward is troubling. The chairman of the National Intelligence Council serves many of the same functions as the editor of the journal. He must review, edit, add context to, and decide what to present in terms of good intelligence. Mr. Freeman's judgment may be tainted because of a desire to stay in the good graces of the House of Saud for his post-NIC career. And again, I'm sure the Washington Times is delighted with that. Still more about Mr. Freeman, this from the Daily Beast blog by Ashley Rinsberg, February 24th, 2009. Charles Freeman, Obama's reported pick for chairman of the National Intelligence Council, talked business with the bin Laden family even after September 11th. Amid the criticism that has already emerged about President Obama's reported pick for the powerful position of chairman of the National Intelligence Council, there is an as-yet unmentioned problem that is likely to cause even bigger troubles. He had business ties to the bin Laden family after the 9/11 attacks. Charles Chaz Freeman, former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia, had business connections with the bin Laden family and their Saudi bin Laden group, a multi-billion-dollar construction conglomerate founded by the father of Osama bin Laden. As chairman of Projects International Incorporated, a company that develops international business deals, Mr. Freeman asserted in an interview with the AP less than a month after September 11th that he was still, quote, discussing proposals with the bin Laden group and that won't change, unquote. In an interview, Freeman contested the notion that international companies who had business with the bin Laden family should be running for public relations cover, noting that bin Laden was still, quote, a very honored name in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Mr. Freeman frequently maintained that the larger bin Laden family was closely aligned with American interests. Contrary to the notion that the family was still supporting and even funding Osama bin Laden, the bin Laden family and its business conglomerate were part of the, quote, establishment that Osama's trying to overthrow, as Mr. Freeman told the Wall Street Journal in a separate interview less than 2 weeks after September 11th. However, the journal also noted that Freeman's connections with the bin Laden family went beyond business. Freeman's Middle East Policy Council, a think tank dedicated to Middle East issues, was receiving, quote, tens of thousands of dollars a year from the bin Laden family, unquote, at the time. Since the rumors of his appointment broke, Freeman has been criticized because the pro-Saudi MEPC has accepted donations in the millions of dollars from the Saudi royal family. And noting here and skipping down, among the people who've criticized that assessment by Charles Freeman, Carmen bin Laden, a sister-in-law of Osama, told Der Spiegel that, quote, the bin Ladens never disowned Osama. In this family, a brother remains a brother no matter what he has done. Indeed, arguably the most important investigative element, in my opinion, is SECO, the Saudi investment company, the Swiss-based holding company for the bin Laden business interests. And indeed, and for the record, programs 498 and 499, we took a look at SECO. The SECO file and the SECO spring of 2001 are absolutely critical. SECO's basically airline subsidiary trained its pilots at Huffman Aviation. That's where Mohammed Atta and company and all of his German, Austrian, and Swiss associates were hanging out. And indeed, in late 2000 and early 2001, Baudin Dunant, friend of lawyer for and protege of the aforementioned François Genoux, he was liquidating financial entities connected to the Iran-Contra scandal. And in the spring of 2001, SECO opened 16 unpublished accounts in the Clearstream network. And again, I think SECO looms large as one of the principal elements in the September 11th attacks, and Osama bin Laden's role as the head of SECO is therefore very much in question. So Freeman's assessment is just flat out wrong. Sadly, that MEPC was also the source of another key bin Laden, or key Barack Obama appointment, excuse me. Frederick C. Hoff is the president and CEO of AALC and a member of the MEPC, and he was appointed by Barack Obama to be a key State Department envoy to Syria. Interestingly enough, AALC is the consulting company of Richard Armitage, a member of the Iran-Contra team, and also a State Department official under George W. Bush. And Frederick C. Hoff of the same MEPC is a key Barack Obama appointment, a key Barack Obama envoy to Syria. I do not think, as some of the right-wing critics and some of the more reactionary Zionist critics of Obama have maintained, that Obama himself is, quote, a closet Muslim or a closet Islamist or whatever. Indeed, Barack Obama has stood up to some attempts at soft-pedaling the Muslim Brotherhood. The following is from the San Francisco Chronicle of February 28th of 2009. Feds defy judge's order in Islamic group case. A federal appeals court rejected the Obama administration's attempt Friday to stop a judge in San Francisco from reviewing a challenge to the wiretapping program ordered by former President George W. Bush. An hour later, President Obama's Justice Department under Eric Holder filed papers that appeared to defy the judge's order to allow lawyers for an Islamic organization to see a classified surveillance document at the heart of the case. The department said the judge had no power to enforce such an order. Chief U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker had given the department until Friday to explain how it would comply with his order last month that it would let attorneys for Al Haramain Islamic Foundation review the document after obtaining security clearances. The document reportedly showed that the organization had been wiretapped, evidence the group needs to establish its right to challenge the legality of the surveillance. A government agency inadvertently sent the papers in 2004 to Al Haramain during an investigation that resulted in its classification as a terrorist organization. Well, that organization has also allegedly been involved in working with Muslim Brotherhood and helping to engage in Al-Taqwa-related activities. I'll put that reference in the description to the program because we're running low on time. But again, I think Barack Obama is attempting to navigate a middle ground. I suspect that, again, as I've said, economics may have helped to dictate the Charles Freeman appointment, as well as some misguided bipartisan sentiment. You can't be bipartisan with Nazis, folks. You can't be bipartisan with fascists. And sadly, that's what the Republican Party has become. But, again, by the way, I should note, Judge Vaughn Walker was a George W. Bush appointee, and he's working, surprise, surprise, on behalf of the Muslim Brotherhood and some of the same elements that the Bush administration professes to be opposed to. Again, theater of the absurd time, folks. This concludes For the Record program number 666, Bad Jacketing Obama Part 4. This is being recorded on March 8th of 2009. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.